Saul doesn't like David. It's no secret to you, but it's a secret really to a lot of people. Saul doesn't like David. And the women came out singing, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David has slain his 10,000s. Saul was mad. David killed Goliath when Saul was hiding because Goliath was just too big. And today, some are standing up to giants while others are hiding, saying it's just too big, it's too expensive, it's just too much. But there is a price to pay. Remember, we saw the education that David is getting is very expensive and it is not real pleasant. But he's learning, isn't he? He's going to learn and he's going to be a good king. He's going to be the greatest king that there ever was until Jesus. David is a king, a man after God's own heart. Now, we begin chapter 19. Remember, Saul tried to kill David twice by throwing a javelin at him to pin him to the wall. David was able to get away. Well, Saul could see, verse 28 of chapter 18, and he knew that the Lord was with David. Others should see and know that the Lord is with you and me. Not a brag, not a boast. Others should know. Sometimes people will talk to you and this is what they'll say. "You are so lucky. You keep falling in the mud and you come out smelling like a rose. What a life." There's your cue. You know, I'm not lucky at all. Don't wish me my own luck. It's God. God has done this. How come this? How come that in your life? How come you say that's your cue? They are seeing the Lord is with you. You say it's the Lord. You don't say it stupidly. You don't make yourself to be super holy. You just say, it's God. It is God. God is in my life. Not because I'm worthy, not because I am deserving, but it's God. He said he would do it and he's doing it. And when David was simply obeying God, Saul could see the Lord was with him. And that made Saul even more angry. And David marries Michal, which is one of Saul's daughters. And Saul was more afraid of David than ever. And Saul became David's enemy all the time, constantly. It's hard to live your life. It's just a difficult assignment when you know that there is someone out there who just has decided to come against you. Whether they're justified in it or not, you're simply trying to get your job done and someone out there doesn't like your looks. They just don't like the way you are. I remember as a young man working at a store downtown, going back and forth in that store. I was about 16 years old and some guy came up and shoved me. And I'd never seen him before. I usually knew my enemies by face, but he just pushed me. And, you know, that's not the thing to do to someone like me. And I looked at him. I must have really looked strange. And he just said, "I don't like your looks." I know you couldn't even imagine anybody saying that to me. And I said, "I don't like him either." Now what do we do? We beat me up, what do we do? And he stared at me, gave me dirty looks for about the next 3 hours, and he waited for me to get off work. It's hard to do your job when there's someone there who is making your life miserable. You do it anyway. It was hard for David, because David could say, Saul doesn't like me. People go, oh, David, come on. You're so hyper. You're just super sensitive. He's the king. So what if he frowns at you sometimes? King's got a lot on his mind. No, I think he doesn't like. Tried to kill me. Not the kill. Come on, David. You know, you've been out with the sheep too long, man. From that day forward, continually. David is learning to be a servant of God. He's learning to be the king. Now, Saul spoke to Jonathan. This is chapter 19, verse 1. Spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. Now, at first, Saul's hatred, his jealousy, his anger, at first it was, as you noticed, all inside. Nobody really knew. He wasn't outright saying anything, but he was hating, and he was jealous, and he was angry inside. What happened? It came outside. Now he is saying it to people. Hey, do me a favor. I'll pay you money. Would you murder David? Now, if you were his son or some of his servants or maybe one of his loyal subjects, you'd say, boy, that came out of nowhere. Did it? No, you and I have been watching it all along. Now, his jealousy, his greed, his hatred is out in the open. Where did it start? On the inside. What did God say? 1 Samuel 16, write this down. 1 Samuel 16, 7. God said, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on this person's outsides, on his looks, on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as men see. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God knows what's going on in my heart. Now, I don't a lot of times, and you don't a lot of times, but He does. God knows what's going on in your life, and you don't. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. And there are times when people go, oh, I love the Lord. You haven't got a clue what you love. You'll see as time goes on, because things will happen. Things do happen. God Himself works people in and out of ministry. They think it's their job. They think it's their circumstances. They think it's their whatever it is, their financial. It's not. It's God Himself. God has said, I will pick this one up. I set one over here. I set one over there. It is God that has done all these things. But you see, Saul's anger, his jealousy, his bitterness is now public. What's in your heart and mine is going to become public if it hasn't already. Did you know that? You can say, I disagree. You don't have to say it. As you walk out of this building and live your life, it's going to show. It'll plain show. We're amazing. We amaze ourselves at what we're all about. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. I'll give you a few verses now. Jesus, speaking to all of us, He says something that you should really take note of. We're going to study, we hope to study the book of Matthew on Sunday mornings when we're through the book of Acts. But here in Matthew, at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to those who are His, You have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not kill. And whoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, airhead, shall be in danger of counsel. And whosoever shall say, fool, shall be in danger of hell, or danger of hellfire. His point is, what's inside is going to work its way out. You have heard it said, don't murder, don't kill. But I say, go deeper. Step back and check out your heart. Because if you're angry with a brother for no reason, and there's usually no good reason, if you are saying things to that brother or sister, or thinking those things, then you have already sinned before the action takes place. Keep going, and outward is going to come. Sooner or later, you're going to say, I just can't stand that woman. Kill her. I'll pay you $1,000 if you'll kill her. Where did that come from? It's been going on years on the inside. It's just going to be public. Be sure your sin will find you out. We can't get away with these things. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27, 28, you have heard that it has been said of them at all times, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Adultery doesn't happen all of a sudden. It starts on the inside and works its way out. Just like everything starts on the inside and works its way out. Matthew 5, 43 and 44. You have heard it been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What's that going to take? It's going to take heart. It's going to take something on the inside. It's not going to be natural or built in. It's going to take power. Power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? He's talking to the Pharisees now, the people who are hypocrites. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart brings forth evil things. Saul had no choice but for the real truth to eventually come out in the open. Bitter, jealous, hateful, greed. It's coming out now. Kill David. Murder him. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now I can fool God. You can fool God. Right? No. But we can just fool each other. That's what we can do. We can fool each other. But the trick is catching on that we can't fool each other for long. Because what's in there comes out. We have seen Saul, his heart is not God's. God said, I have chosen me a man after my own heart. That one isn't after mine. But he's the king. He's doing nice things. He's really running the country well. You're looking at something on the outside. Whereas God doesn't see like you and I. He looks on the inside. When he chooses a candidate, you're so shocked at that candidate. Now, why would God pick her? Why him? Because he sees what nobody else sees. We're not fooling him. Now you know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you know that, now listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 34, I don't have the scripture written down. I'll have to find it. I have the verses and not the chapter. I believe it's 20-something, but I'll let you know. One of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying this, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" What's the greatest commandment? Jesus said to him, "Greatest commandment is this, you shall love the Lord your God." Listen, what's the first thing? "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Why did God pick David? God said, "He's a man. I have found me a man after my own heart." The first thing I have to give is my heart. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, then all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets." You're fulfilling the entire commandments of the law and the prophets, the entire Old Testament, if you will, by simply loving the Lord your God with first your whole heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 adds to this and gives us a bit of a warning. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Jesus said in the New Testament, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What's coming forth in your life, sometimes you think are just circumstances happening. "Well, they didn't like me, and so that's why I'm this." Or, "This happened, and that's why." No, what's happening is basically God is dealing in our lives. Saul is going to say, "Well, the reason I'm not really liked anymore as king is that David. He's trying to steal my throne. He's trying to..." No, God was simply moving Saul out. Whose idea was it to move Saul out? God's. Who's Saul going to blame it on? Anybody and everybody else. Now, you and I should keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Are you doing that? Are you one who keeps their heart? What does it mean to keep your heart with all diligence? To keep means to guard or to preserve diligently. To stay on watch 24 hours a day, all the time. To watch over super carefully. Are you watching over your own heart super carefully? To watch out what comes out of it, to watch out what goes into it. We are told to guard, to preserve, to watch over carefully your own heart, and don't ever let up. In other words, with all diligence. Are you doing that? Are we doing it? Jesus says in Matthew 6:19 through 21, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where's your heart? Where's my heart? Where are our hearts? Do you guard your heart? You have every opportunity to get your feelings hurt. Every opportunity to be lied to, cheated on, treated like dirt. That rhymes. You have a right to hate those people because they're mean to you. You have a right to never speak to so-and-so again. Remember how they cheated. Remember how they lied. Remember what they did. You have a right until you remember. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me before I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory. Where? beneath the cleansing flood. He owns me now. He has purchased me. He bought me. I was a slave to sin. He bought me and set me free from that. Now, slaves don't talk about their rights. A slave says to the master, "You just tell me what you want me to do. How would you like your eggs?" And then you simply serve Jesus because of His loving kindness, which is better than life. Of course, you deserve to hate everything and everybody. But why are you hating everything and everybody? Because your heart's not right. You have forgotten and left your first love. Your heart. The problem is a heart problem. You weren't guarding that heart like we were told to do. We've let stuff get in that's growing in there, that's weeds and things, and it doesn't belong. It's got to go. It's got to get out. Or you'll be paying to murder somebody. You'll be saying things about them that might be true, might not be true. You'll be saying it because in love you want others to pray for them. You'll do what it takes to destroy. And there's hardly a church in this city that hasn't had the effects of it. And what I see here is simply a man who we saw the hate, the jealousy, the greed, the bitterness, the fear even. We see it. We've seen it because we've been reading our Bibles. Now, Jonathan and some of the servants see, because he says to Jonathan, "Kill David for me." That's weird, Jonathan. What do you mean, kill David? Well, Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. They were buddies. They were good, close friends. Jonathan told David, saying, "My father wants to kill you. Now, therefore, I pray you, take heed to yourself till the morning and hide." Go to a secret place. Hide yourself. "I know my dad. He means business. You better hide. He's the king. He's got the authority. He's got the manpower. He's got the money. I think he's serious, David. You better go hide." "That's not right. That's not God. That's not what..." Well, so David, he says this. Jonathan says, "I'll go out, stand with my dad in the fields where you are, out there hiding in a secret place. I'll talk with my father of you. I'll commune with you. And what I see, I'll tell you. Go hide. I'll talk with him. And let me just see what's going on here. Let's see what this is all about, where he's coming from." Jonathan spoke good of David to Saul in verse 4, his father. And he said to him, because Saul said, "I want you to kill David for me. Let not the king sin against his servant." It would be a sin to do this against David, "because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been to you," or toward you, "very good." David has done what the king wanted him to do. David has been fighting in the battles. He's been coming in, going out, being wise with the way he's handling himself. He put his life in his hand and he slew the Philistine. Remember, he killed Goliath. He's telling Saul. "And the Lord worked a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it, and you were happy that day, remember? Wherefore then will you sin against innocent blood to murder David for no reason, to kill him for no reason?" Well, the Bible says in verse 6, "And Saul listened to the voice of his son Jonathan. And Saul promised," he swore, "as the Lord lives, he shall not die." What did Jesus say? Just let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. There's no, this swearing is no good. It's not going to get you anywhere. What are you going to swear on? Heaven, that's God's throne. Swear on the earth, that's His footstool. What are you going to... Don't swear. Christian, when you say yes, there it is. When you say no, there it is. We've left that and lost it. And our society proves it each time you say yes to something. You'll sign in triplicate. Your brother will sign. Your sister will sign. Your dog will put a print on there. They're going to get anything that can possibly earn a penny, and they're going to have it signed. And then they're going to see if you can get a cosign. Could you give me 30 references from people that have known you 75 years or more? What are they telling me? Your yes is not good enough. Jesus says to you as a believer, when you say yes, you do it. Even if it means to your own hurt, even if it costs you money, even if it breaks your routine, even if it changes your sleep pattern, if you said yes, I will, you do it. If you say no, even if it looks like it's fun now and everybody else is getting involved, then you let your yes be yes, your no be no. We need to be men and women of our word. Saul is not a man of his word. You're not surprised because you see the bitterness, the greed, the jealousy. Those are things that don't belong in us. They must go. Paul says to us later on in the Bible, you were that way. When he's speaking to you and I, he says, you were that way at one time, but you are no longer that way. I love his faith in us. I know you were cheaters, thieves. You're not that way anymore. You've come to Jesus. You've put all that aside, right? We go, oh yeah, oh yeah. We're not bitter, are we? When people say all manner of evil against us, we pray for them immediately and we say good things in return, don't we? When people push you in the store and say, I don't like your looks, you just immediately say, you know, I just want to tell you Jesus loves you. Right? Me too. Saul swore. He swore, as the Lord lives, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan, verse 7, called David. And Jonathan showed him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times before. Now verse 8 says, and there was war again, and David went out to fight in the wars, fought with the Philistines, killed some of them with a great slaughter, and they ran away from him. God is with him. He's blessing. Philistines are being driven back. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. People have asked about that. What is an evil spirit from the Lord? What the language is saying specifically isn't that God sent the evil spirit. What the language is saying is God allowed that spirit to be there. Always remember, God allows what He wants. No, He didn't send the evil spirit, but He allowed the spirit. He doesn't send evil into your life, but there are times when He allows things to happen. Have you noticed? And you're going, what are you doing? You love me, remember? I know that's why I'm letting this happen. Pain 101. And David got an education. And he was studying hard to be king. And he's going to learn to be a good king. But it's sometimes hurtful. It's sometimes scary. It's sometimes confusing. It sometimes just plain doesn't feel right. And we live in the 90s. Feel. How do you feel about that? Your mother changed her hair color. Now, how do you feel about that? Really? When your boss really doesn't like your whole attitude. Now, how does that make you feel? Hungry. Oh, you're a man. You can't get in touch with your feelings. That's me. How do you feel about that? How does that make you want? What does it make you want to? What emotions does that bring out in you? Hunger. People have to tell me that. That's not an emotion. It is in me. I'm a Christian now. I have one basic emotion. You guys think I'm joking, I know. The evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat there playing with that javelin. You saw it last week. I'll ask you again. You and I have to answer this question. In David's hands is an instrument for peace, for worship. David's hands are busy about the things of God. Now, what have your hands been busy with all week? Got that javelin, throwing it up and down. You know, so-and-so, I don't like them. They're ugly, first of all, and I don't like them. They get to do everything, and I never get to, I think I'll hit them with this. What are your hands busy with? Are your hands busy with the things of God? That's what they need to be. We need to be busy serving God. Or we're going to get in trouble because our hearts will trick us. They're deceitful. And so he's there. An evil spirit comes on him. Not a great time to be having a spear in your hand. And the evil spirit comes upon him. What happens? Well, we already know what's going to happen. David was playing the harp. There's David. He has seen this happen a few times already. He must be a little further away watching Saul. And Saul sought to pin David to the wall with this spear. Imagine your surprise. Could have knocked you over with a feather. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence. Saul missed. And David fled and escaped that night. What did Saul swear? He won't die. I swear it. By the Lord, I swear. Saul was lying. And he tried to kill him. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. Kill him tomorrow morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if you save not your life tonight, tomorrow you will be dead. You've got to get away tonight. So Michal let David down through a window. There's David. This happened to the Apostle Paul. He got let down through a window. He had to get out of town in the dark. He went and he ran away and escaped. And Michal took an image. See, she had false gods in her house. An image of a god. Laid it in the bed. Put a pillow of goat's hair. Nice house. For his bolster, for a pillow. And covered it with a cloth. So she's making it look like he's in bed there. And when Saul, messengers, when he sent messengers to take David, she just said, he can't come into work today. He's sick. I don't know if you've ever done that, but there she's got it all looking like he's in the bed there all covered up. And they say, oh, we need David. He can't. He's sick. And Saul sent messengers again to see David, saying this, bring him bed and all. Just bring him to me in the bed so that I may kill him. Now it's public knowledge. He's saying it out loud to everybody. The messengers say to Michal, we were supposed to bring him because Saul wants to kill him. Word is out now. Word is out on quite a few people. All of a sudden, hearts are revealed, and you see, they aren't really friends. They're out there saying this. They're out there doing that. They're attacking. They are trying to destroy you. What do you do when someone does that? Do you remember? I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's what we do as believers. Write that down now. So the next time someone comes out there and says something about you, truth or not, all you do is pray for that individual. Do good to that person. That's what we do. Well, bring him in this bed, I'll kill him there. When the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed and a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said to his daughter Michal, why have you deceived me and sent away my enemy? And he's gotten away. And Michal said, he told me he would kill me if I didn't help him. Now there's someone you want on your team. She's the one that came up with the idea in the first place, and now she's lying to boot. Now that's going to make Saul mad. What could Saul say now? Then Michal said, well, I had to help him escape. He's my husband, and he threatened my life. He said he'd kill me if I didn't help, so I helped him. What's Saul going to say from now on? Everybody, you know, he threatened to kill my daughter. I have a right to kill him. True? Now he's got a right to kill David. She shouldn't have said that. She should have said, you know what? I don't know where he is. He left at night, and he's gone. And that's the truth. She doesn't know where he's hiding. He's just hiding. Now she set him up, and Saul now has a reason to kill him. Happens today, very common. People don't like something about you. They don't like something about your ministry. They don't like something about your neighborhood. They don't like something. And what they do is they wait and they watch. You need to walk in Jesus Christ. Because it doesn't take much ammo for you to give to them. Now they've got a reason. Now they've got a good reason to not like you. Now they've got a good reason to not like your church. Now they've got a good reason to not like your neighborhood. Now you've given them their reason. God said to David at one time, David, your son is going to die. You're going to live and you're forgiven, but your son is going to die. Why? Because you have given my enemies a reason to blaspheme my name. We should never give a reason for God's enemies to be able to laugh at God. We want to be careful of that. Well, that's what's going on now. So David had to run away. And where did he go? He escaped and he went to Samuel's house. Remember Samuel? He's old now. He's been in Ramah. Never sees Saul again as long as he lived. Remember, till the burial there. Remember, there's Samuel living out his peaceful life. He's an older guy now. And David runs to Samuel and tells Samuel everything Saul had done. And he and Samuel then went down to Naioth. They went to another city to hide. Why did Samuel go with him? Because Samuel knows the king. The king's going to kill them both now. That's what happens when you and I allow bitterness, anger, jealousy, grief. What happens is all of a sudden now, everybody's bad. There's nobody good. We're going to have to take care of the whole situation. So he's going to get rid of Samuel and David. Samuel knows it, so he takes off too. David, you're here. Saul catches you and me here. He's going to put us both to death. Samuel said it way before David. If I go to anoint one of Jesse's kids, Saul will kill me. Remember? He knows this man. So they both run. And here's something that is we can't figure out. Saul was told. Verse 19. Behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Saul sent messengers to take David. When they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul and they prophesied. Messengers were sent out to arrest David. Bring him back, we're going to kill him. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon these enemies of David and they begin to prophesy. So they can't really, they're prophesying now, they're not really into arresting. Now, I can't explain that to you. And when it was told to Saul, he sent other messengers. All of a sudden, they stay there and they're just hanging out with the prophets. And so other messengers come along and they prophesied likewise. Now there's more prophecy. Now we're getting a whole group of people just prophesying about the Lord. Saul sent messengers again a third time and they prophesied. He's not getting any of them back. They're becoming Bible college students. Then he went to Ramah himself. You know, if you want something done right and you want a murder, go do it yourself. That's the only way to get the job done. So he goes. He came to the great well that is at Sichu. And he asked, where are Samuel and David? They said, they're at Naioth and Ramah. And he went there to Naioth and Ramah. And the Spirit of God came upon him also. And he went on and prophesied. Did he belong to God? Not really. Did he have a heart for God? No. Was he into the things of God? No. He was opposed to the things of God. He was being disobedient to God. He was out to murder. He hated. He was bitter. And the Spirit of God still came upon him. Does that give you hope? He stripped off his clothes and he prophesied before Samuel that way and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? God can do anything. People were sent to arrest David. They end up just speaking for God. More people, speaking for God. Third group, speaking for God. Saul says, this is stupid, I'll do it myself. He ends up speaking for God. It's scriptural. It doesn't make sense to you and I, but it's scriptural. You'll find another place where Balaam talks to a donkey, speaks for God, doesn't have a heart for God, wants to steal, wants to rip off, wants to destroy Israel, still speaks for God. God is amazing. God uses people Right now, God is using people who run the world to accomplish His will. God uses leadership all around the earth to accomplish His will, but they think they're doing it themselves. Now, if that's true, and it is, what about you and me? What about someone who is submitted to Him? Now, to be submitted to God isn't to be bitter, hateful, greedy, gossipy, jealous, angry. Any of those things. Those things have no room. To be submitted to God is to be humble, contrite, serving at all times, not even recognizing when you're under attack, figuring that God Himself is going to deal with all this, or something's going to get into your heart that doesn't belong, and believe you me, when it comes out, everybody's going to see it. It can be hidden for a while, but as you see in Saul, once it's out, word's out. Your ministry's destroyed. Your witness is destroyed. Lives are driven off. Now, if you know that from the start, you and I should be men and women and young people who simply bow down and say, just use me. That's why David prays, don't let me be ashamed. Don't let my enemies triumph over me. Don't let me wander off on my own. Keep me from presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin is sin that you would do knowing it's wrong, but knowing God's going to forgive you anyway. I know I shouldn't say this to her, but she's got it coming. God will forgive me. Now, I know you've never thought that, but other Christians have. I know that I shouldn't do this, and I probably shouldn't say this, but, and here it comes. Instead of saying, you know, I shouldn't say this, and I won't. And bummer, I got to confess because I already thought it. See, because Jesus said, if you think it. See, it starts on the inside. He's interested in the inside. He's going to change your heart, and it will work its way out. And you know what? People are going to see the Lord is with you. The Lord is working in your life. They're just going to see it. You don't have to tell them, oh, how I love Jesus. That's okay to say, but know that if it's real, it's going to work its way out, and others are going to know. Believe me, as we worship God, whatever you have, if it's a lousy attitude, if it's something against someone, and they may deserve it. I'm not suggesting that everybody else is innocent and you're the ugliest, guiltiest thing in the world, but I am suggesting that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. All of us. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We haven't glorified Him. He loves us anyway. He comes to us and says, you come. You come to me. There are none of us in here who can point fingers at others. No one can cast the first stone. We can't do it. You wouldn't want to start throwing rocks at someone and have Jesus walk in the room. Oh, Bob, you're going to throw that rock? Let's talk about Thursday. No, I wasn't going to throw. Are you a rock? No, this is my pet. I just taking him for a walk. Guard your heart. Keep your heart, the Bible says. Keep it. Put a guard there. Don't let anything in that's going to grow into something that will destroy. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. Guard your heart. Do that because Jesus Christ has purchased you. Do it so that others can have a chance to see Jesus. There are many who don't know Jesus. There are many who are headed for destruction. Live your life that they might see Jesus and have eternal life as well. Let's bow our heads as we worship together.